That is neat to hear what God is leading, how God led in putting that together, because that's part of the part of what we're going to talk about as we talk about membership. And you know, it's about raiding the fridge, and I'm sorry, you cannot all go and eat right now. It is not a, it's not that that you get to eat. But it does, the reason I want to use the fridge is because I think sometimes the word membership misleads us. The word membership sounds more like I am, you know, becoming a member of a club. I'm paying my dues. I'm a member of AMA. I'm a member here. I'm a member there. And I think that that is not exactly what we talk about when we talk about membership in a body of believers. I think that we can use the word, but really what each of us needs and what each of us wants is a place to call home, a place where we are connected, a place where we feel needed, and in some ways that's why I'm saying a place where you are free to go and raid the fridge. Now, I'm hoping that just because I invite you over for FASPA doesn't mean that you're going to right away go to my fridge and see what's inside there. See, in a general sense, other than a few of you, you don't do that when you go visiting somewhere. You don't just walk in, take off your boots, and go open the fridge and say, hey, what's for supper? You know, it's something that is usually practiced where you are at home. Teenagers are bad for this, right? Yeah. They raid the fridge any time of the day or night. We were at my aunt and uncle's house, and when it came time for the cake, she sheepishly goes over to the dryer, opens up the dryer, and takes out the cake. She said it was the only place the teenagers hadn't found yet. So, they, you know, it's when we talk about raiding the fridge, we're talking about a place where you are at home, where you have the freedom to do that. That's where I think membership misleads us. Because we're talking more. We will have folks coming up today sharing and wanting to become a member here. Really what they are saying is they want to be at home here. This is where God has called them at this time. Lawrence didn't get baptized into this church. That baptism was a symbolism of the Church of Jesus Christ, and that goes worldwide. But I want to, I think as we look at the as we look at the different word pictures that the scriptures use of the church, the one that is the most intimate is the family. And it seems to me that it's because God knows our heart. And so, when we think of this part of raiding the fridge and a place where we call it home, then I want you to think of family, and I want you to divide that a bit more and think of household, which is what you will find in the book of Ephesians, where we'll be going again. You'll find the word household. And what is interesting is that I belong to the Dirksen family. There's 12 of us. And you know what? Most of my brothers and sisters don't really want me to come raid their fridge anymore. Why? The family, there's a different relationship between us when we have grown up and got married and moved out than there was when we were growing up in mom and dad's home. And so now we have family gathering, then our children come home with our grandchildren. When the Dirksens get together, then there's 100 of us. When the Dirksen clan gets together, there who knows how many more there could be. Can you see that picture in the church and in the body? The Church of Jesus Christ goes around the world. At Le Creek Christian Fellowship, we are one household. When we go to the EMC convention, I don't know everybody's name, and I don't know all my cousins' names, do you? But at the look, when we go to convention, I don't know everybody's name, but we are a part of a larger family. We are brothers and sisters in the EMC conference. The EMC conference is part of a larger body of the Anabaptist faith. And then there's a larger body of where the Anabaptist faith is a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And it keeps going. Where do I need to go as a family member? Well, it's neat to have EMC, to have the Anabaptist faith, the Church of Jesus Christ. They don't know me. They don't live here. I can't keep on a covenant relationship and really serve Christ locally together with them. We are a household here. My question for you today is, would you like to raid the fridge here? Yeah? Well, become a part of the family. Become a part of our household. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. He says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens. Notice how he's going to take this language. We're not foreigners. We're not aliens. That right away says that you're not a citizen, right? You're an immigrant. And then he says, no, you're not an immigrant. You're not even a landed immigrant. You're a fellow citizen. Then we're all Canadians. We're all Christians, as fellow citizens. But then he brings it closer to home. He says, a part of God's household. A household is a house, a yard. It's not even referred to our children. You know, once your children leave home, they establish their own household. We as La Creek Christian Fellowship are one household. It's a place where everyday life really happens. It's a place where we work together, where we play together. It's a place, or it's supposed to be, a place of peace, a place of contentment. It's supposed to be a place where you wanna, where you can be yourself and still be accepted. You never have to pretend to be something or somebody in order to be accepted. You're a part of us, who you are. You know that you will be loved unconditionally. Fernando and Angela surprised us this weekend by phoning up after supper and said, we're leaving to come over. And that's neat. We enjoyed our time yesterday. And you know, our home is pretty quiet on the average, but when you fill it up, yeah, it gets a bit louder. And I loved it. I sat there at the end of the table and I said, thank you, Lord. How special. How neat. And I envisioned the Heavenly Father sitting at the table of His household. And then for us, imagining our Heavenly Father being here this morning, lovingly looking over you, hearing the noise, hearing the laughter, hearing the children, hearing the crying, hearing the disciplining. Lovingly, He looks over and there's that warm feeling of contentment, of excitement. This is the way it should be. In Romans chapter 8, Paul uses that illustration of taking it a little bit further. He says, we are children of God. He says, because you are led by the Spirit of God, you are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Do you see what's happening here? That we do not have a spirit of fear. See, membership, as we call it, that's where we think of something that's binding in a way. But it isn't. It's about a relationship and a covenant where there is no fear. There is no slavery. But it's a place of peace. It's a place of sonship, of daughtership. It's a place where you belong, where you feel a sense of, I'm home from college. I walk to the fridge and I find all the good things that used to be there. It's a place you want to be. You know what? It is a place of accountability because we need accountability. So that does become a part of this, doesn't it? But you see, if we see the first part and we realize that we are a household, we realize that a household must have order in order for it to work, right? There are chores that need doing. There's stuff that we will love doing and be good at. And there's stuff that we need to do that we will not enjoy. But it's all part of a household. And we share the journey, we share the work. In accountability, Galatians chapter 6 is, I think, one of the neatest passages in helping us to see how, as a household, within this body, with right here, Le Creek Christian Fellowship, how can we grow together as brothers and sisters in our relationships? How do we work our way through being imperfect? He says, if someone is caught in a sin, notice that he says you're caught, okay? You're caught in a sin. That's, in some ways, so to speak, some of the worst things that happen to us, right? Because we probably felt bad about it already. A lot of times, there are those deliberate decisions we make to sin. But in a general sense, so much of our life is where we get caught because it was something that we either were foolish or we didn't even allow, we got caught up in something. But when that happens, how should we as brothers and sisters respond? He says, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. See, the gentleness comes from the part that says, I am not perfect either. The gentleness comes from the part that says, I have been caught in sin as well. And I have had the privilege of being restored, of being forgiven, not just by God, but by the family. And he says that we restore such a person gently. And this is carry each other's burdens. And in that way, you will fulfill the body of Christ, the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Accountability. Dietrich and Lina are friends of ours from Oasis. Let me share with you very briefly their story. Dietrich was where they were living in the States illegally in Texas. He was working illegally. He got picked up for drunk driving and got thrown into jail. While in jail, he knew a little bit of English, and the chaplain gave him a New Testament. And he said, guess what? He said, I had a lot of time to read. And he started reading, and the chaplain led him to the Lord. Well, he says that he got a free bus ride back to Mexico. Got back into Mexico, got back into the family circle, the church circle where they had been, and started drinking again. He ended up working for one of the men from our church, and through that, some of the women from the church helped them out because they were very poor and they had just had another baby. And so Martha was one of the ones, along with some other women, that started bringing food to this family and had no idea who they were. But they started coming to church. And he began to grow as that seed that had been planted in prison began to bear fruit. He did good for a little bit, and then he fell back again. Started drinking again. He repented. And he and I, by this time, had gotten to know each other a bit. And I offered to help him, to be his accountability partner. No, he would make it. He was good for a year. And then he fell back again. Really bad. When he came out of that one, he talks about lying in the back and on his back, totally drunk in Mesquite. And just in the middle of the night, just looking up at the stars and just feeling so real that Satan was there to get him. And he says, I cried out and said, Lord, give me one more chance. And when he came back, he came to me and he said, I need your accountability. He says, will you meet with me every week? And so Diederich and I started getting together every week. 2 months after this, he came to the church. And he said, I have a problem. I can't guarantee that I'm not going to drink again. But I want to make myself accountable to you as a whole congregation. He said, we'd like to become members here. And I remember that congregational meeting, having listened, he came in and shared his story. And he said, yeah. Told that he, 2 months being dry isn't a long time when your history isn't very good. Family pretty messed up. And he shared his story and then he left and we talked about it. And we were excited, right? And one brother got up, he says, yes, we're very excited. But he did tell us that he might fall again. He says, what are we going to do when he falls? And there was an immediate response around the room that said, we'll go pick him up. We'll dust him off. And we'll help him. That's accountability. That's what it's like to be a part of a household. That's what we are supposed to be about. Not kicking each other when we're hurting, when we're down, when we make mistakes. But no, restoring each other gently. 1 year later, he gave his testimony, having been dry 1 year. It's been over 2 years now. He's finished 1 year of Bible school. They're in their second year of Bible school now. He has an AA group, but they didn't kick him out of AA, but AA didn't like it that he was sharing his testimony and doing Bible studies, so he calls it the other one. There's a group of men working together to deal with the men struggling with alcohol in the community. He's leading this. He goes to the center to share his testimony because the church was willing to take him and be accountable. We take accountability very serious. We want people to grow. We may not have the same sin, struggle with the same things, but folks, it is still there that we need each other. Verse 4 and 5 says, each one of you should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. We're human. We like to put blame. We like to say, the church failed, and that's why I'm where I'm at. Or, my family failed, and that's why I'm where I'm at. It's somebody else's fault why I'm struggling with what I'm struggling. No, you can't blame somebody else for what you are going through. But you can go and find help. See, when we blame someone else, we continue in our own struggling with our own things because we really don't want to make ourselves vulnerable and accountable to someone else. We're a family. We're a household. We live together in a household where everyday life happens with the negative, the positive, yet we live in harmony. We live in accountability. And you know what happens? We begin to grow together. Just like families grow, more children come, more grandchildren, marriages happen. Families grow in the same way. Our church, the Le Creek Christian Fellowship, the household that God has made us responsible for, we can, as 2 Peter, where Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, he says, we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Life together as a household, as a family, it results in growth in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. But not only that, it also continues in faith and love. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul says that we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightfully so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Yes. Grace, knowledge, love, faith. They all are a part of our experience. They're a part of who we are. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a family like that, of an organization like that? You know, are you scared of making the commitment? Are you scared of allowing yourselves to become a part of a body, of making a public commitment for whatever reasons? Maybe it is because there's sin in your life and you don't want to be excommunicated. And we see the part that we don't want to be accountable to a body because we want to live life the way we want to live it. Are you scared of it because you don't want the commitment that if there's work that needs to be done, that you don't want to be part of that work? We can have all kinds of reasons why we don't want to become a formal part of a household. Because you see, our friends, when we have good friends and our kids bring friends home, the kids go to the fridge and they feed the friends as well, right? Parents, how often do you come home and you find out that your children had friends over and there's all kinds of stuff missing out of the food department? Why? Because you brought friends over and they participated and enjoyed that which was part of that household. And that's good. And it should happen. But it shouldn't just stay with that. It shouldn't just stay with that. So my question goes back. Can you raid the fridge here? Would you like to? The family of God reaches around the world, and we are just one household in it. Today, Jennifer and John and Justina and Tammy and Lawrence, they're choosing to make this their household, their home, the place where they are making themselves accountable. They'll be a part of us, and we will have expectations that they will help with the dishes. We'll have expectations that they will become a part of our household. But you know what? The rewards that they will be enjoying should far outweigh the fun we have together doing the dishes, sweeping the floors. Because we also go camping, we also go to Disneyland, we go all over the place as a church. There's missions, there's service, there's needs on the building. There's so many things that we can do, and we do it together. If God has called you to Le Crete, and this is your home, in this community, and you would like to make this your home, why not join us? You're not marrying us. It's not that you can never leave. It's just that God has called you here for this time, and we'd love to serve together with you for the call that God has placed on us as a church here. Then you can raid the fridge anytime. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the incredible privilege we've had of being a part of this church. Lord, as a not just this smaller part, the Creek Christian Fellowship, but also the Evangelical Mennonite Conference, and then the larger body yet. Oh Lord, I am glad for every part of your family. And this morning, Lord, we have the privilege of inviting brothers and sisters who want to join with us in a covenant relationship of ministry, of service, of worship, of seeking together to be faithful to you in our community, in our church. Lord, I pray that we will continue to be like a normal family that will grow, that will expand, that will live in harmony and accountability, and will have all the joy, the peace, and contentment under your loving care. In Jesus' name, amen.